Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcott. I'm so glad each and every one of you have made me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Monday, the start of a new week here, June 27th, 2022. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about the latest expansion for the Elder Scrolls Online. That's right, Elder Scrolls Online, High Isle. So we got some fun stuff to talk about with that. But as always here, don't forget, you can always follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, you can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. Now, hey, I hope a lot of you guys had a good weekend here. It was kind of the first big weekend of the summer, if you ask me. I mean, here in the Carolinas, we had some great weather. We actually, for those guys in the Discord, they know that I've been building a screen around, or like a screen room on top of our deck in the back. And Monday was basically filled with me spending, well, not all day. I thought it was going to be all day, but about the majority of the morning, loading all the construction debris, which we literally filled up a box truck front to back, almost to the top, and had to head to the dump and just get rid of all of that lumber that was left over, basically taking down our old deck. And I got to tell you, man, I was hurting for much of the weekend after doing all that, but made it through it and got to enjoy the pool and that this weekend. So hopefully you were able to do the same and you know, maybe get some swimming in or just enjoy the sunshine and that outside. That's the time of year, right? I mean, there's fun, which I was sitting by the pool reading some comics, man. I've actually been tearing through two series right now. Number one, catching up on the old IDW, I say old, I mean, it's still running, the IDW Ninja Turtles comic, which is, again, fantastic. I think if you're somebody who is a Turtles fan, either from the past or current, and have been just found yourself having a blast playing Shredder's Revenge, do yourself a favor. Check out the IDW run of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's actually on, what do you call it, on the Amazon comic program. Comixology. So if you're a subscriber to Comixology, you can get a lot of the series just through that. I think they go up through like issue 80 or something like that. I think I have the first, what, maybe 12 or 13 little four set volumes they had come out. I had bought those a couple years ago, so I'm kind of rereading through that. So go check out the Turtles, man, if you're into that. The other thing I was reading, which I think I'm now on issue 327, I think. And if you've been listening to the show here, you've heard me come and go on this series as I'm slowly trudging my way through it. And that's the manga One Piece, which, I'm going to admit that here, that I'm kind of back into that. And I just got through a pretty awesome arc in there that, of course, you know, Luffy is as lighthearted as that series is at times. It gets pretty heavy and bring some emotion to it. And so I did that. Actually, that scene on Netflix, they've added a bunch back to it. And I think now they've even got up through episode 300 something, which I don't even know where the manga is. But I like reading them. I like the series, watching it, but the manga, you can tear through it much quicker. And of course, that is the source material that the series is based on. So I've been kind of going back and forth between Turtles and One Piece right now. And again, we're just chilling out by the pool. My nephews came over and we had a fun time doing that. But enough about what I did this weekend. Let's talk about what we're here to talk about. And that is the latest expansion for The Elder Scrolls Online, The High Isle. I ended up grabbing this finally, I think Friday morning is what it was. I just kind of looking for something to play in the mornings because, of course, you know, you guys know I get up early and that's usually when I play stuff. And so I jumped into this one. I mean, obviously, big fan of Elder Scrolls Online. I'm going to say probably my favorite MMO. I mean, I always go back and forth between this and Final Fantasy 14, which I'm going to talk about some of the differences here a little bit later on. But let's get through what the expansion has. The neat thing about this expansion this time around is that it's much more grounded in just, I'm not going to say reality, right? Because, I mean, there's obviously, you know, spells and all crazy monsters happening. But we're not going to giant world-ending events that have kind of seemed to be the thing with the latest couple expansions from you know, Morrowind, where they're going to get wrecked by a giant, you know, asteroid crashing into the Earth, to, you know, Greymoor, where you had this vampire plague that was kind of all over the place. You had dragons in one, where the dragons are taking over everything. You know, even last year, to Blackwood, where it was literally gods were coming, you know, the god of hell, essentially, was coming to just take over the Earth and destroy everything. I say Earth, but, you know, the Tamriel world of the Elder Scrolls. And this go around, it's much more of a political expansion. The cool thing is it's actually going back to the base game and the politics of what's called the Three Banners War, which involved the different factions which in the game, which if you've never played Elder Scrolls Online, when you create a character, you kind of pledge yourself to one of these factions, be it the you know, Aldemary Dominion, the Ebonheart Pack, you know, and so on. You kind of pick which one you want to align yourself to. And in the base game originally, you were locked into your faction, basically, and you kind of cleared that zone. Once you cleared it, you could jump to the other ones, but you had to clear yours first. And, I mean, the kind of the weird thing was you couldn't team up and do dungeons together if people were in another faction. They've gone and since changed that. But we haven't really revisited that so much in these... What, God, I mean, is this the eighth year now of Elder Scrolls Online, I think? But they haven't really revisited that. Well, that's where this expansion kind of kicks off. The cool thing is we go to a new area that's never really been, or just has not been seen in any Elder Scrolls game, even outside of ESO. This kind of archipelago of islands, and the main one, of course, being High Isle, which is, of course, what the name is. And kind of the whole idea here is there's a group that is having a conference, a meeting of the leaders of the three factions of the Three Banners War to basically come to a formal peace. Thor has, I think, ended kind of at this point, kind of where the story is, but there's still been some disgruntledness and things going on. But you're here to kind of be there for this conference that's happening. But while traveling there, some stuff went down, leaders are missing, and that's kind of where you come in. And there is essentially this group called the Ascendant Order, who's kind of behind all the events. And the plot carries from their view, trying to figure out what's going on. I'm almost done with the main quest. Not done yet. It does have some twists and turns. There's actually even another zone besides just this High Isle zone that you go to. That's a very lush, like, jungle type area. It's actually like a prison island, which is kind of cool. So a lot of kind of what you're encountering there is neat, but again, like a jungle. So the creatures and that are there are pretty awesome. The High Isle itself has some very memorable locations, kind of very high fantasy, which is kind of awesome. Not so much as like the Somerset expansion was, but pretty close. Lots of sunflowers all over this area. You're kind of going through, there's fields of sunflowers, and it's beautiful. One of the cool things, and kind of playing off that kind of beautifulness and these sunflowers, is lots of druids on High Isle, which is kind of cool. I mean, I don't think we've ever really seen druids in ESO yet. And a lot of the quests kind of have you, when you're working with them or trying to discover something that they're doing, has you finding these, like, druids prayer circles and things like that. Or, you know, one quest, there was something happening and they were turning people into these, like, sheep or cow. Which, by the way, I mean, the writing in this game is still stellar. I mean, the lore of the game is awesome. And that's one of the things about ESO is, like, a lot of people really look at it as, oh, it's an MMO. I'm not into MMOs. Probably 95% of the over 1,000 quests that are now in this game, it's probably even more than that, can be done solo. Like, the only things that really need to be done as a group are if you're running a dungeon and each dungeon has a quest. If you're doing the trials, which are like the big raid type things, which you never need to tell. I've never run a trial in ESO, ever. It's a 12-man massive quest, basically. Have never run one. I've always wanted to, never got in a group to do it, and have been perfectly fine. I mean, that's the interesting thing about Elder Scrolls Online, is it really is just a game filled with lore and stories, and you make of it what you want. And that's where, in the beginning, when I was kind of comparing it to Final Fantasy XIV, like the story of Final Fantasy XIV, the overall story, the MSQ, the main scenario quest, which is the one thing that people always tell you, like, hey, if you want to catch up, just run through the MSQ. And you need to progress in that game, is incredible. Like, it's one of the best video game stories for me personally ever. Like, it's just awesome. So, like, Elder Scrolls Online, in terms of that, can't beat that, like the overall story. But what Elder Scrolls Online does is there's so many smaller stories that lead up to this, like, just feeling of being in a world and being a part of this just giant adventure that just continues and has moments of calmness. And maybe, you know, you go just meet some guy who you randomly come across in a trail, and he sends you into this cave that you didn't even know was there, and then suddenly it sprawls open to something else. That's what The Elder Scrolls Online achieves well. Final Fantasy XIV has the overall epic story, but all the smaller little side quests are just like fetch quests and things like that. And, you know, unless you're there to grind out gear and do the harder... I think they call them trials in there too. To do those things of fighting harder bosses on harder difficulties and all that and get that better gear. Like, that's where Final Fantasy XIV's game continues on after you beat that main quest. If you're not into that, you could be someone like me who just plays Final Fantasy XIV to get the story and then just bounces and comes back when the story continues, which they just did the 96-hour campaign, like Return. So I jumped in, just played the 10 little story quests that were there for the new patch to continue the main story from Endwalker, never subbed, and I'm out. And so that's kind of how I play that game right now. When the next expansion comes out, I'll jump in and play through the story, and I'm done. Or ESO, you know, the cool thing about that is, like, sure, this was a paid expansion. I did get it on sale, High Isle. I kind of play through the main story, but I can come back to it at any time, never having to sub, and there's always stories to be found. You can play Elder Scrolls Online for 30 minutes and find some sort of story, some sort of just fun in that 30 minutes, and that's what's great about that game. And, you know, part of it, I think, is just having that affinity for the lore, for the world. You know, having played the other Elder Scrolls games, I love that. But even if you've never played an Elder Scrolls game before, you're going to learn all that just through playing, you know? And so that's why I think ESO, if I really had to take a step back and say, what is my favorite MMO? It's definitely this. And, you know, to kind of go back to the High Isle, because I kind of totally went off on a side there. This expansion, like I said, the writing is great. But the other thing they did that's really cool is there are things in the game called delves, which are kind of like these little, I'm not going to say solo dungeons because you'll find people out there as well. But before, a lot of times it would just be a cave and you go in and that's it. The delves I've been to so far in this have been more expansive. So one, you're getting on a boat and then, you know, the story when you get the quest is like, oh, we're going to go in here and you need to take my boat over to this island, and you go there and there's, you know, an island that you're kind of going through that even in itself even had its own little cave within there, which was kind of, I don't think we've had delves like that have multiple maps. The game has what's called public dungeons. They're not your typical dungeons, but they're much bigger than these smaller delves. Those have even had more areas within them, which has been kind of cool. I don't really think they've done that so much. There was one that was like this ship ghost yard that had not only just crashed ships in that in it, but a bunch of ghosts kind of running around. And at the very end, I got a cool memento of this little ghost ship that I can kind of pop out. But then at the very end, there was this literal ghost ship that suddenly appeared in the water that was pretty neat. The main area you go to, Ganfalon Bay, I think it's called, there was an epic moment that had happened there. And there was this giant monument that was kind of towering within the water throughout much of the beginning of the story. At one point, something in the story causes it to crumble. And that was a cool set piece moment that the game had that I don't really remember them having. They've done things like that before, but nothing on that scale that I thought was kind of cool. So it seems like they're really kind of honing in on what these expansions can be. And, you know, for an expansion that isn't as fantastical as some of the more recent ones have been, it was kind of neat for this one to kind of hone it in a little bit, but still yet them find a way to have you intrigued. Because a lot of the ways I even kind of play these when I first get to them is I just kind of mainline the story and then kind of go back and pick things up. I've been really sidetracked during this expansion so far. I mean, I've played, what, I've had 3 mornings worth and a couple afternoons kind of dipping in here when we're getting back from the pool and, you know, everybody just kind of hanging out around the house. So I've put a good probably, maybe 7-8 hours in to it, which has been kind of cool. Now, one negative this time is they tried to throw in a trading card game. And I use trading card loosely, but they tried to throw in this game called Tales of Tribute. And it's a whole new kind of little card game built into the game. And you can just literally log in, go to the tavern where it is and play. A lot of the taverns now are kind of strewn. I think even some of the cities and some previous content now have these vendors. I say vendors, but kind of these areas where you can kind of matchmake with people and play. I don't know about the game. You know, it's kind of convoluted. They make it seem like it's very simple, and it kind of is, but like as I'm playing it, I'm like, this is not a fun game. I don't even want to begin to describe it to you. The only thing I'll say that's cool is like, you can't just buy cards. You can't just buy decks. You have to just go on quests. I even had a quest that wasn't even related to the card game. Just doing another quest rather than get a piece. Well, I got like maybe a piece of gear. You always, you know, when you kill something, you get some gold. I got some sort of fragment for a deck. So, you know, you're going to basically unlock a deck. Or you can kind of go into your collection and all the different fragments and pieces that you have. But the way the card game works is when you come to the table, you bring 2 decks. And the decks are small, but you're bringing 2 decks with you. And your opponent brings 2 decks as well. So you have 4 decks. They get shuffled together, and that becomes the drawing pool for you both. You're not actually drawing from your own deck. You're combining it with the other person. So the cool thing about that is it always gives a level playing field when you're playing. So it's not like, hey, I got the best deck, I'm going to win. It's more of, hey, I'm bringing this deck, you're bringing your deck, let's combine it and see how it plays out. And then, of course, it comes into the randomness of how, you know, you draw from the deck. But that's kind of neat. Other than that, like, I don't know. I just got to play with it some more. I've only played a couple hands. I did the tutorial. But it's, for me right now, that's kind of been a miss. Like, it's like I was hoping that I would be interested in that. Like, I would play the rest of the expansion, or, you know, a bunch of the expansion content that I want, and then come back to the card game and start playing that, which could still happen. But the initial impressions didn't really hit me that good. It wasn't liking it. But overall, I would say the High Isle, if you're an Elder Scrolls on fan or Elder Scrolls Online fan, or have been playing up to this point, it's a no-brainer. You know, if you got nothing to play right now, jump in now. Otherwise, look for the sale. I forget where I had some discount code I got somewhere, was able to mark it down. It's $40 to add on. I think I got it for like $32.99 or something like that. But you can also, of course, get the full, I think $60 gets you like the collection, I think, of all everything up to this point, as well as the High Isle, which if you've never played ESO, I mean, I promise you guys, you know, I've said it before, like the game is great. I think you'll have a lot of fun, especially if you're a fan of either RPGs and fantasy, or looking for a fantasy story, or have played the other Elder Scrolls games. I mean, this is a no-brainer. Just at least dip in and check it out. Especially, I think you can get the base game for like $5. It's super cheap. Well, it's on PC, I think. Console, Xbox, it's on Game Pass. So you can just check it out there for free if you want. And the PlayStation, I'm sure you can get the base game for super cheap. So that's it. Well, all right. That's going to do it for me here today, guys. We'll see you on Wednesday. Don't know what we're going to be talking about yet. We'll have to wait and see. I'm sure there's going to be something that's going to pop up that we'll be jumping into. But maybe we'll kind of do a recap of where Ms. Marvel is up to this point. I haven't really jumped into that too much. I think I gave some quick impressions, but maybe we'll jump into that. So until then, everybody, have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch you next time.